Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Contrera. What's going on, Contrera?
Not too much.
Cool. I think the only thing really going on is that Craig apparently doesn't know how to tell time or whatever, so unfortunately he's not on the show tonight, and we'll see what's happening next week. How's your week been going?
It's been going okay. Not much going on.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of slow. You know, we're a couple weeks from Mania, so it's slow right now, but you know it's going to explode here pretty soon.
I got me a Roku 3 this week, so.
Now, are you going to trust that to watch the WrestleMania stream, or are you still going to order the pay-per-view like you said you were going to do?
Probably going to order the pay-per-view, just because it's a WrestleMania Sunday, so I would rather not have any issues.
Right. Well, that's the only safe thing to do here. I need to call our guest here. Can you handle this without Craig here for a few minutes?
I can play something, because I'm not going to be able to talk by myself. I'm not capable. So, let's see.
All right, well, go ahead and find a click. I'm calling right now.
Kelly Blanchard, Arn Anderson, James J. Dillon, Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen. The most powerful name in professional wrestling. Their strength is legendary. Their stamina is boundless. Their endurance is beyond the ordinary. And you are about to discover their most powerful secret. This is the Four Horsemen top performance system of caplets and chewable wafers, formulated especially for the Four Horsemen to provide peak energy, endurance, and unsurpassed power.
Power Formula 1 and Power Formula 2, the top performance system that has made the Four Horsemen most
fearsome
force in professional sports.
Formula One chewable wafers for that quick burst of energy. And Formula Two, an exclusive complex of the most potent. Kelly Blanchard, Arn Anderson.
All right. We are joined by our guest, Brian Fritz, tonight. Fritz, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, Craig doesn't know how to tell time or something and couldn't do the show tonight, so we have no introduction for you. So I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
Okay, no problem, man. For anybody that doesn't know who I am, Brian Fritz, Between the Ropes, BetweenTheRopes.com. You can check it out there. You can also follow me on Twitter, either at Between the Ropes or at Brian Fritz. And been doing a radio show or a podcast dating back to 1998. And two occasions I've gone to Vegas and shared a room with Ed. And the first time, after never meeting him before, I watched him almost die in the bed next to me.
Well, that's a much better introduction that Craig could have ever done for you. So,
so well, how's it going? Of NXT arrival, you can see Fritz sitting next to John Cena.
Let me correct you there. It was John Cena sitting next to me. Hello?
I doubt it, but okay.
Now, you know what the funny, I think I've told this just a couple of times, but the funny thing is the way that they did it at Arrival was all the different, you know, mainstream superstars that you saw, they weren't out there for the entire show. Like, they brought them out there, they shot them, and they, you know, then they walked away. And that's the way it was with Cena. And I had no idea what was happening because they were saying, can you guys clear a little space here? And I thought it was just kind of let the people get out of the bleachers come the end of the night because the show is about to come to an end. And next thing you know, here comes John Cena and standing right next to me. And I was just like, all right, whatever John does, you do the same, basically. And we stood there, we smiled, and we clapped, you know. And it was funny because, like, I was getting all these messages either on Twitter or text, and so I was like, I wasn't even sure if I was on TV until that started happening, and then I ended up going back and seeing it. And it was funny because it was so quick. I mean, it was like three cutaway shots of like a total of 10 seconds or something. But, yep, that was me and John hanging out.
The first time that I saw it, I'll give you my whole reaction. I was watching the screen, and then the next thing I know, I screamed, "What the fuck?"
I think it's a reaction a lot of people had. They're like, wait a second, is that? No. Oh, wait, it is.
Now, you said they were bringing in different stars for, like, certain parts. Was that the seat they were using, or were they spreading them out throughout the audience?
But no, they were spreading them out. Like, you know, Cena was right there in the bleachers next to us, right in front of us, but they put extra seats on the floor, was Flair and his daughter. And then, let me think here. Like, all the way on the other side, they had brought out some extra chairs, and I think that's where they had Dusty. And they might have done one other one. But a lot of times it was like they added chairs.
Okay.
Or they had saved some chairs and they put them over there. I don't know if it was brought up on the broadcast, but you know who else was at that show?
Who's
former
that?
Former heavyweight boxing champion Riddick Bowe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Riddick Bowe was at that show. And it was funny because, like, so I'm in my section. I'm in the bleachers. But I'm on the front row there, so we're actually on the floor. And everybody's piling in. We're getting ready to watch a show, you know. And I look over and I go, you know, my buddy that was with me, I go, dude, that's Riddick Bowe. He's like, what? And he came walking by me with, like, his guy. And I go, hey, champ, what's going on? He turned and goes, hey, man. And he shook my hand. I was just like, I was like the only person that noticed him at the time. And then later on in the show, I was talking to my friend about it, and the people behind me heard it, and they're like, where the hell do you see Riddick Bowe? And I go, look over to your right. And there he was, Riddick Bowe, who, God, not too long ago, it was rumored that he wanted to do something in wrestling, but he doesn't look like he can move that great. I mean, Riddick Bowe had epic fights with Evander Holyfield and then once went crazy and kidnapped his family.
Yeah.
And he was at NXT Arrival, man. He was one of the big stars there.
He was supposed to do some wrestling, if I'm not mistaken, not too long ago, but he kept the promotion up for, like, extra cash or something. And,
right. And you know what, like I said, the way he was moving, I don't know if he would have been able to do it or not, man.
He
not that he has any experience anyway.
Yeah, he was punched up, like, 20 years ago. So.
Right.
Yeah. But let's get to the real important question. Forget John Cena. Who was the hot blonde sitting behind John Cena?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who that was. It was just a fan that was there at the show.
I remember seeing, I think maybe a couple of rows behind you. I saw SoCal Val, but that's the only woman I recognize. So.
Yeah, Val was there, but
yeah.
I don't know if she was behind us or she was over to the right. But Val was there because I was there for Arrival, and then the next night, which was a taping, Val was there as well. So
okay.
I've known Val for being down here in Central Florida. I've known Val probably since probably around 98.
So why is her name SoCal Val? Shouldn't it be South Florida Val?
What's that?
Why is her name SoCal Val? Shouldn't it be like South Florida Val?
Well, that's just always been the gimmick name. So, I mean, that was the way she started. And you know what the funny thing is? She still does this every now and then where she works wrestling shows as a valet or as a manager. That was her name when she started. I've known her since she was like 15 or 16 years old.
Fritz, we've had we've had what's his name, Buck Zimoff on the show, so you might want to watch what you say.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, well, I knew her then, and like we knew how old she was. Like I'd go to shows, and we got to know Val, and I was never hitting on her or anything, but you know. We knew how old she was. And, like, I'd met her mom and everything, you know, because her mom came to shows or whatever. And I remember, you know, you'd be backstage sometimes and guys would be like, hey, it was a chick working the show. And I'm like, you know how old she is, dude? And they're like, and they'd find out and they'd be like, whoa, all right, no problem, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been a different story in the early 80s because.
Right, right, right. It would have been like, hey, what's your mom doing tonight, too? All right, buddy.
Right, no kidding. Yeah. But did you have to pay for your tickets, or did you get comp for being part of the wrestling media?
I was in the wrestling media section. Hello. That whole row was wrestling media.
Oh, really? Who else was there? Do we know anybody?
Nobody that you would know. It was all local people. It was like local radio and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like my friend Walt was there. He works with a local radio station, and I had another friend of mine named Eric. He was there, too. In fact, you might have seen Walt. We were, like, the only two people that – Walt was actually wearing a sports coat. And then I didn't want to go the sports coat, so I just wore, like, a really nice button-up shirt and then covered it up with a pullover sweater, like a real light sweater. And then I just kind of rolled up the sleeves a little bit, and I was like, yeah, this is GQ enough. I think I'm good. I'm like, I'll dress the part, but I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to suit up.
They only do that for the Hall of Fame where you bust out the suit.
That's correct. I have two suits. I have one that I originally got about 20 years ago, and I don't fit in. And then I have my other suit, which I break out once a year, and that's for the Hall of Fame. In fact, last year when I broke it out and I was putting it on, come to find out, like in a jacket pocket, I still had some papers from the year before.
Oh, wow. I thought you were about to say some money.
That would be even better, but no.
Of course, yeah, money left over.
Money, come on. You know I don't care money, Ed. You know how cheap I am. You keep reminding everybody on Twitter about that.
Well, it's amazing. You're the only person I know who go to Vegas for 4 days and spend $150 and 50 of it being losses and bets.
I know, man. You got Court Bauer on my case about that the other night on Twitter, and you were claiming $200. I was like, no, man, I did it for $150. Come on, bro.
Right? I mean, the only thing you really bought other than food was socks.
Yes, I did buy socks. That's right. God. Now, the first time I went out there, I spent a little bit more money because I did gamble a little bit, but that didn't go too well.
Yeah. I don't think anyone really did any little gambling that year.
I went to it's funny because, like, last year I went to New Orleans. I worked the Radio Row for the Super Bowl, so I was there for the week, and I, you know, was brought out there, and like the money that I was given for my food money for the week, which was not that much, but I used it to gamble, because there is a casino in New Orleans, which I don't know if you've ever been there, but you'll probably find this out. I'm sure you'll be there, but I'd never played roulette. But I kind of knew how to play anyway, and I was just like, oh, what the hell? And I was out there with another guy, and I started playing, and, you know, after like 20 minutes, I'd almost doubled my money, you know, even though I only gambled like $100 or whatever it was. So I was like, oh, I'm doing good. And then my buddy, who was not gambling at that point, decided to buy back in, and I quickly went downhill. He cursed me, and about 20 minutes later, I was done. So...
So what did you do for food? Just hit up the free breakfast buffet at the hotel?
More or less, yeah. Well, you know, that trip was so hectic, and we were doing all this work. Like, we had to get to the this convention center and be there by, like, 6:30 in the morning, and we were working until, like, 4 in the afternoon, and they had, like, no food in there. So I had actually, like, the first night that we were there, I went to a grocery store, and I literally bought this thing of muffins. And I bought, like, some soda and some water and some stuff, and I had a little fridge in my hotel room. And thank God I did, because I just loaded up on stuff and brought it with me.
That's cool.
But no, I used my regular pay for food. I wasn't, you know, overly cheap. New Orleans has great food. It's also very expensive.
Yeah, I have like the place we're having dinner on Friday. Mm. It looks awesome, but it is also expensive. And then the buffet we're doing on Sunday is also pretty expensive. But
you know, I will let the cat out of the bag.
I'll go ahead.
There's a chance I'll be at that dinner on Friday.
Well, your boy Rodney's counting on it. I think you'll be very hurt and disappointed if you're not.
Well, I've got another friend of mine that's coming with me. And, you know, part of the he's a wrestling fan, but not as much as us. So he's got, you know, like maybe an idea of some other things that he wants to do, which I'm totally cool with. But I told him we should go to this dinner. Because, I mean, we got to eat anyway, so why not? So the whole thing will be making sure we don't have anything else to do, and we're going to be in that area. But I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem.
Yeah, and then we're all jetting off to Ring of Honor after the dinner. I will say something that unfortunately, something about the dinner that unfortunately the plans fell through, but I thought would have been awesome, and they were real close to happening. But I was very close to having Mia Yam and Leva Bates be the hostesses of the dinner and come out and hang out with everybody. But unfortunately, they just got booked the other day on that Wrestling Oddities show that's going on at 3 o'clock. So, unfortunately, that
happened.
Yeah.
Oh, well. SoCal Val will be out there for WrestleCon if you want to, you know, hit her up.
Oh, sounds good.
She's the host of WrestleCon or one of those things out there.
I'm actually, you know, I mean, she's there, and I think Mickey James is there. But as far as the women's side, it's very lackluster compared to last year's WrestleCon. Because last year's WrestleCon, there was a lot of women there.
Velvet Sky there?
I think it's like Velvet and SoCal and Mickey James, and that's about it, really.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now, man. We got to post this
like,
up.
Last year they had, like, you know, Kelly, Mickey James, Beth Phoenix.
Why don't you get my buddy Sting to host it? Oh, wait. We get along now.
It was Dickerman that almost ruined all that anyway. Not you.
I know, but I'm the one that got yelled at. Didn't matter, man. He had my number, so I'm the one that got marked at. So, Mickey James will be there. Maurice is going to be there. The Miz is Squeeze.
Oh, okay. She must have
hello.
Been.
You know who else is going to be there? Karen Jarrett is going to be there. Caitlin is there.
Oh, really? Okay, I can see that. People since the last time I checked. That'll be cool.
Maria Kanellis and Tammy Sitch, SoCal Val. Oh, my girl Lisa Marie Barone. She'll be there. She still owes me a ride on her motorcycle.
I need to go and confront Sunny about her blocking me on Facebook and unfriending me on Facebook and blocking me on Twitter.
Who did that?
Sunny.
Oh, well, you're not missing anything there.
Actually, I am. Her Facebook is very entertaining when she goes fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, I once asked Lisa Marie, because she brags about her motorcycle, and I asked her if I would be a bitch if I had to ride bitch on her bike. And she said no. So she still owes me a ride.
I'd be happy to ride bitch with her.
Yeah, exactly, man. Let's see, who else is going to be there? Angelina Love, Jazz, Candice LeRae. There you go. You got some ladies out there.
Yeah, that's more than what I had originally thought. You know what I would really like to hit up? I don't know if we'd have time to because it's on Friday before the dinner, but I'd actually like to hit up, if possible, that Mid-South convention.
Yes. Yes. That's one I might drop by because I'm supposed to have a couple passes for that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I would love to go.
Membership has its, advantages, buddy.
Well, we're part of the wrestling media, too. We're just, like, on the very, very bottom step, so, you know.
Oh.
Get the perks you guys get.
Yeah, but, now, here's the question, okay? Are you going to the Hall of Fame this year?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Because I know in the past sometimes there's shows that butt up against it, and sometimes you want to go to a show, so I just wanted to see if you're going. I mean, everybody's going to see the Warrior go crazy, so.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm one of the few actually from the group that hasn't missed a Hall of Fame since I started going. I mean, I went to, you know, the one in Arizona, which only a few people went to. Went to the one last year which is awesome. Yeah, I love the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's pretty great. But going back to the Mid-South Convention, I mean, it's just, I would love to take a picture doing the Jared Strutt with the Fantastics, man. That would be fucking awesome.
Oh, God, they were awesome, man. I remember watching those guys on a regular basis, and I remember when they, you know, when they started coming on TV and everything, and like, I had heard of them, but I had never got a chance to see them up until that point. I'd always heard about them, and then finally got to see them, and I was like, wow, man, look at these guys. Yeah, they were awesome.
Did you ever see Tommy when he was a jobber on Georgia?
I don't remember seeing that, no.
Really? Yeah, he was pretty much just a straight-on jobber. You know, he'd be one of the jobbers that got to, you know, get a dropkick in,
mm-hmm.
and then throw the guy in the turnbuckle and then charge in and then get cut off, like the typical jobber spot. But his big thing, like, he did an angle one time, and it's funny because I remember every second of this angle today, 30-plus years ago, and basically they had a thing where they had Kabuki and Gary Hart, and they had this challenge. I forgot how much it was for, maybe like 10 grand, 5 grand. But the challenge was they'd give you Kabuki's Kindle stick, and you had 3 shots to hit Kabuki, but he had like these special Bruce Lee kind of gloves or whatever, and he would mm-hmm. block them. And they did it for weeks, and no one could hit Kabuki, and then they had Tommy Rogers. He swung once, got blocked. He swung twice, got blocked. Kabuki turned his head and shrugged at Gary Hart, and Tommy Rogers just belted him across the back. And I just remember the audience going crazy. And that was
nice.
Like the first thing I ever saw Tommy Rogers. Next thing I know, he was teaming with Bobby Fulton, who I saw years before that. When Fulton was first breaking in, he actually wrestled here in San Antonio, and he used to wrestle like exotic Adrian Street. So, yeah.
Nice. I'm just excited that Ricky Morton's mullet's going to be there.
Oh, wow.
You got Ricky Morton's mullet, and you got Robert Gibson. Where, God bless Robert, man, but when you stand in front of him, you can't tell if he's looking at you or not. And, like, there's no taking a picture with him unless there's money in his hand first.
Those are two guys that they really have
old. There's no point in even changing the hairstyle now. It's just with you
too.
Ricky
can't change that hairstyle, man. I mean, he's known for having that mullet.
last mullet standing.
That is last mullet standing, man. You ain't kidding there, dude. That's called living the gimmick right there.
Yeah. Well, it's actually pretty cool that he picked the right season not to be thrown in jail for child support.
Oh.
During WrestleMania time. So he can make some money a little bit.
And by the way, SoCal Val is hosting the Mid-South Legends Fan Fest, not WrestleCon. So.
Oh, okay.
But she'll be appearing at WrestleCon.
I'm actually kind of disappointed that the WrestleCon and Gabe's thing kind of split, because I really liked it last year because everything was just right there. You had the matches on one side, you had the convention on the other side, and now they're kind of splitting it up. And kind of disappointed in that, but I mean, you know, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see how far everything is split and how they do it next year. You know, when WrestleMania is out in Santa Clara, because isn't the talk then that like WWE's trying to tell all these different buildings, like, don't want anybody else with wrestling out here?
It was already part of the deal to sign them, so it's already happening. They're gonna—I don't even know where they're gonna go, but they're not gonna be inside the city,
right? I think the smart thing is gonna be next year that what you do is that all the events except for WrestleMania, I think, are gonna be in San Jose. So I think that's going to be the smart place the smart thing to do is stay in San Jose and then just have your rental car and go to Santa Clara for Mania.
Okay. That's going to be cool. I haven't been to California since like the early 80s.
I've only been there once, man.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Lakers have a home game because I'll get there 2 days early. Like, I usually get there on Thursday. I mean, I'll get there on Monday, man, if the Lakers are playing. I'll go to L.A. Are you kidding me?
Why would you want to see the Lakers play? They're like
To go see the Mamba?
I will make
the pilgrimage to the Staples Center and, you know, freaking get down on one knee before I enter that hollow ground.
If they do play, I hope it's against the Spurs so I can sit next to you and enjoy you get crushed as your team gets crushed.
Hey, man, there's some growing pains. But you know what? All I know is that, you know what, since I've been a Laker fan, you know, I've got to watch them win the championship 10 times. Nine times. So, including 1 year when they beat your Spurs and you were crushed.
Yeah, well, we beat them 1 year, too, so it all even.
Exactly, man. See, it happens back and forth.
Yeah. But let's go back to the WrestleMania weekend. Are you just doing the main WWE shows, or do you plan on going to any of the other shows?
No, the plan right now is just the main shows. Like I said, I got my buddy with me, and there's some other things that he wants to do. So right now it's just the main shows, but you never know. I mean, that could change. Like I said, we're probably going to drop by the Mid-South convention, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, if there's something else that really piques our interest. I mean, I think the plan is we're going to the Jim Ross show on Thursday as well. I'm not sure which one we're going to yet, but the plan is to go to one of them, probably the early show. And then, you know, I was hoping that Mick Foley was going to be doing his comedy show on that Friday. It would have been my fourth time seeing him, but the powers be did not have that in the cards, I guess.
Wow. Are you going to go do some DDP yoga with DDP?
I will not be doing that, no. Are you going to?
I'm not going. I'm probably not going to that, but I have actually been doing DDP yoga for the past month.
Oh, okay. How's it been going for you?
Pretty good. My back feels a lot better than it has in fucking years, so.
Well, you got to tell me when you can actually lift your leg up and hold it with your hand.
Oh, where you grab your big toe, you use your hands and grab your big toe and pull your legs out. I tried that one for the first time the other day and had a little trouble.
I want to see you do it where you put your foot, you know, up by your face. You know, you lift your leg up that high and then you can reach out with your arm and you can grab your foot.
Yeah, I'm not quite at that level yet, unfortunately.
No, that's coming. What all things are you guys doing? What all shows are you going to while you're there?
Well, Katrina's not going because he's a cheap bastard. But
what?
I'm here in Dallas. I'm waiting for a couple of years to make all that beer, so I'm not
going
anywhere.
That is true, man. 2 years, we're all staying at your place.
Oh god.
Right? That's the plan.
Ed, bring a sleeping bag.
I will, man. Hey, Ed knows me, man.
I'm good. You can have a spare room. Ed can sleep on the floor.
Oh, okay, perfect, man. That works.
See how I'm treated around here. But I'm actually going to I'm doing at least one thing every day except for on Friday. After the dinner, we're jetting out to Ring of Honor, which we got a front row tickets to. Unfortunately, they're not media tickets. We have to pay for them. And,
okay, that happens.
Yeah. Well, most of us paid for them. I'm sure that little midget.
I know. I know, man. I totally admit that I am spoiled beyond my wildest imagination. But you guys are big fans, man. So good, you got the front row seats.
Yeah. And like that other midget, we asked if he wanted to be put in, and of course he's like, no, I get in for free, rubbing it in. So we're doing Ring of Honor. Saturday, I'm doing Shimmer in the afternoon, and I got front row tickets for Shimmer. And then Hall of Fame, of course, and then WrestleMania, and, of course, Raw. And
You are staying in town for Raw.
Yeah, finally, this year, I finally learned my lesson after fucking up the last, 4 or 5 years.
I know, man. Like, I went last year, but the year before that, the one that was closest to me in Miami, for whatever reason, I had to go back to work, or I didn't take the extra day off, whatever it was. And, of course, I wasn't there when Lesnar made his return, like a dumbass. And so me and my buddy vowed no matter what, we have to stay for Monday. And last year we were there for Raw when Ziggler won the belt and all the freaking crazy-ass Brits got everybody fandangoing and doing the wild chants and everything that we were doing, man, chanting for the pretzel guy and you name it, man. So I was there.
Yeah.
Were you
the
one in Orlando with the Ric Flair thing?
I was there, Yeah, man. And the funny thing was, I kept telling everybody, I'm like, they need to just tell Flair, let him do a little rap, blow the confetti, they get their shot, and then just let him start telling stories for another 2 hours. Who cares, man? I've always been a big proponent for the Hall of Fame that, and it was funny because a couple of years ago they were really putting time limits on guys, and they've cut back on that now where they've given them more leeway. But I still think when it comes to the Hall of Fame, that one of two things: either do it in the afternoon and have the building for plenty of time, kind of like the Baseball Hall of Fame, where guys can go as long as they want, to a certain degree, and then same with the or if you're not going to do it in the afternoon, because if you did it then, you'd have plenty of time to edit it for TV, but this year it's on the network. Start it earlier. I mean, why do you have to start it at 7 o'clock at night or whatever? Can't we start it at 5 or 6 or do something like that, I mean, like I said, the good thing is that they don't have to edit it, so it's got to be on the network. So if it goes long, it goes long. I mean, they're only bumping their own programming, so who cares, So, I mean, I don't want to see a guy go out there and ramble for freaking 2 hours. But you know what? If there is a guy that was a big star and is a good talker and is entertaining and he wants to go for an hour or so, I'm okay with that.
I remember last year, the only negative about that is we had got a limo to take us, and Oliver's like, yeah, we gotta meet up at a certain time. And then so the Hall of Fame starts, and everybody was just going on and on and on, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, man, we're going to have to walk out during Bruno or something. But thankfully, Bruno kind of, he kept it a little shorter than everybody else, but he was actually awesome. But, like, there were times when Stevie Ray was talking where I'm like, okay, Stevie, hurry the fuck up. Or when Stephanie McMahon was talking, I'm like, okay, Stephanie, hit your points and let's go.
We went into the building. Me and my friend did. So we go into Madison Square Garden through, like, this front entrance, right? So we're standing there, and I can't remember who else is with us. Then a couple other media guys are with us, and they're like, all right, here's your media pass or whatever. Just, and it had, like, a seat section and all the, an assigned seat and everything. We're like, okay. And they're like, yeah, just go down here, and you do this, and turn here, and blah, 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 right? I'm like, okay. So we're doing that. And somehow we made a wrong turn. And next thing you know, we were like in the backstage area where every WWE superstar was there before they walked out. And we're like, I think we're in the wrong spot. So like Ron Simmons is right there and Bret Hart was right there. There's like, I mean, everybody's there, but like right where we were. So we just kind of stood there for a minute or two and like, maybe we should probably get out of here before somebody kicks us out. So we turned around and we walked out of there, and I ran into RVD. I ran into somebody else, and I think it was Waltman. Yeah, I ran into the Pac, and then we finally found out where we made our wrong turn.
Yeah, that's. I would love to be hanging out in that backstage area where they all start to make their like red carpet walk out. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, we were just waiting for somebody like, all right, if we stay here any longer, somebody's going to notice how out of place we look, and they're going to come and get us. So we got out of there.
Yeah. I just remember, like I said, we had got this limo, and the limo, since it's fucking, of course, New York, was kind of expensive. So we had got a few people to pitch in, one of which was Brian, but then someone suggested to Brian that we're not going to get there on time, and he should take the bus, so... He bailed and screwed us out of $70. So as soon as the Chicago show wasn't even over, I think we left like at intermission, but our limo's right there. So me, Oliver, and the guys get in the limo, and then the bus stops like half a block away. So Brian takes off sprinting to catch this goddamn bus. And his excuse was that the bus had special lanes that he'd get there on time because he had to be there on time. But I guess that didn't happen on Saturday. So we got there, had cheesecake from across the street at some famous place, and Brian just barely made the deadline to get in, and because he was a cheap bastard and didn't want to get in the limo.
Unbelievable. Jeez. Well, the good thing is, too, this year, like transportation-wise, I mean, when you're talking about going to Hall of Fame or Mania or, just places to eat there in New Orleans, everything's pretty close together. So you can either walk there or it's a very short cab ride. But that's also the troubling thing when it comes to, like, you guys are going to see Ring of Honor, and that's outside the city, and it's a little hike over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's thankfully, like, there are a few people with cars, so,
that's good.
I guess the rest of the people have to can, you know, just jump 4 or 5 into a cab.
Right.
And yeah, that's the only thing that we got to drive to. Basically, Rodney said everything's just like a streetcar right away. So.
Yeah, it is. You know, like I said, when I went there last year, like, you've got the convention, and right next to the convention, like across the street at the end of it on one end, you've got the Superdome, and right next to it is the, you know, the basketball arena, and that's where Hall of Fame and Raw are going to be. And then Bourbon Street is, you know, half mile to a mile away from that. And then also right at the end of the convention, that's where the casino is. There's a brewery that's right there. You've got the pier that's on the other side of all of that. And so, you know, everything isn't too bad away. Now, have you ever been to New Orleans before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so when you go down Bourbon Street, I was told this the last time I went. Yeah, it'd be right when I got there. They're like, I got there, it was a Monday afternoon. They're like, go and have some fun today. You don't have to work today. So, and somebody warned me, like, you go down Bourbon Street, the farther down you go, the more debauchery is taking place. And they were not kidding. Like, you start out and it's all, you know, everything's nice and, you know, whatever. And you get farther down. And it's not that it's, like, necessarily dirty from a standpoint of dirt on the street. It's dirty considering what's going on in the buildings. And, like, the women are standing right there, and, like, the door is open. There's pictures of women. There's a couple girls standing right there, and they're, like, in this little waiting room area. And you can't see beyond that because they've got it all curtained off, and they're like, come on in here, baby. And that's all going on down there when you really get down to the end of Bourbon Street.
Sounds exciting.
There you go. I thought you'd want to know, man.
How are they about people just walking down the street smoking weed?
I haven't done it, so I'm not sure. I would say if Mardi Gras is going on, you could probably get away with it a little bit more, but I don't know if I'd do it now if there wasn't, like, a huge crowd.
Uh-huh. I watched those episodes of Cops at Mardi Gras. They do bust you for smoking weed on the street, so...
There you go, man. See, we're all missing out on Mardi Gras and throwing beads and all the fun that comes with that, man.
That's too, way too many people for me to be around. God.
There's a lot of people, but
oh God,
there's
yeah.
a lot of fun going on. Wink, wink.
Yeah, you give me like one of those places where I can just like sit up on the balcony during Mardi Gras above the crowd.
Yes. Perfect. That is absolutely perfect. You just sit up there. You can see everything. You can throw your beads and just not get caught in all of the mess that's down on the street.
See every fight. See every arrest.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I was looking in my desk here. I have the WrestleMania 30 logo and beads that they were handing out last year. And I was like, dear God, why the hell did I ever hold on to that? And I remember last year, too, I get to go to the session where they bring out a bunch of different people to talk to the media, and I talked to Mick Foley, and I was sitting at this table. And on my table, they had, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 of these, you know, beads promoting, you know, next year's WrestleMania, which is this one. And there was, like, some DVDs and whatever. And in the middle of me, on camera, because I was videotaping this, talking to Mick Foley, he blatantly steals one of my WrestleMania 30 beads. Blatantly. Thief. Puts it on in the middle of the video, and when he gets done, he walks off. Unbelievable.
I think Mick Foley might actually be cheaper than you, Fritz.
Now, that's a good question. Well, he's got a lot more money than me, though.
I know. That's what's not fair about it.
I know. He's got a lot more money than me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he can be pretty cheap. Yeah. He doesn't have to bum rooms anymore, like me. I'm the one that's always bumming rooms, like, hey, man, we can get 2 or 3 people in this room, right? It makes it cheaper, right? Yeah, okay.
You're the only person I know that would share a bed with Jerry Lynn wearing a Speedo.
Okay, that did happen. But
the thing was,
it wasn't originally planned that way. It's just come to find out we ended up 2 beds, and we thought we had a pull-out sofa.
We did. That's correct.
Well, come to find out, the sofa wasn't a pullout, and it was kind of small. And the other guy, it wasn't like he was, like, you know, really, like, obese or anything, but he was tall. And, like, I didn't want to sleep on the couch. And it wouldn't have fit me either. I was too tall for it, and I'm not even that tall. And, you know, so I was just like, all right, you know, I'm going to be in bed. And Jerry's like, I got to sleep in bed. And I was like, okay. And the next thing you know, I was just like, whoa, what's going on here, Doug? Yeah. That was the time he won the Ring of Honor championship.
Yeah, he kayfabed me before he did it.
Dude, I had no idea he was going to win it, too. Like, you know, we're really good friends. But, I mean, that was kind of our deal. He never told me what was going to happen in his matches, and I never asked. And, yeah, he won the belt. And I remember going back to the hotel room, and you and I think a couple other people were like, hey, man, you guys got the belt, right? Can we come over? Where are you staying? So I told you, and everybody came over.
Well,
and
I was staying there. I don't know if you forgot.
What happened?
I was actually rooming with you guys that trip.
Were you? For that trip?
Yeah, I was on the sofa bed. Yeah, Houston.
Okay. I've got it confused with another one that happened, too. There was another time where I shared a bed with them, too, because we did have another friend.
That was Arizona.
Yeah, that was Arizona. You're right. Yeah, that was Zona. Yeah, Houston, you were staying with us. Yeah. Well, didn't you had, like, a bunch of other people, like, hitting you and hitting me up, like, can we come over? Where's your room? We want to see the belt.
Yeah, like Rodney and a few other people. Yeah,
because I remember, like, I was sitting there watching TV, and, like, Jerry had left the room, and he comes back in, and I had the belt on, and I was watching TV. And everybody was like, what the hell are you doing? I go, I'm just relaxing. I got the Ring of Honor championship around my waist.
I just remember I couldn't fit that fucker around my waist. It's like the Ring of Honor belt was made for cruiserweights.
Didn't we take a picture of you in the bathroom with it, like, over your shoulder?
Yeah, it had to be over my shoulder because I couldn't fit it around my
waist. That's right, though. You did stay with us at them. Yeah, I got it confused with Arizona, yeah.
I just remember, like, before y'all left to go to the Ring of Honor show, I was like, hey, so are you winning the title, Jerry? And he just saw, we have an idea, but we're going to play it by ear. I don't really know. I was like, okay,
yeah, I know.
Jerry, okay.
There was a time where I would try to get something out of him, but he would never tell me, and I just stopped. And it was just kind of like our you know, unspoken rule that, like, you know, we would talk about stuff, but, like, after the fact, and he would never tell me what was going to happen.
Yeah, I just Jerry was awesome, and I just remember him wanting to just. I never seen anybody want to beat an underage kid's ass so bad as Jerry.
And Jerry's the nicest guy in the world too, man. As anybody's ever met him, but you know what? Somebody got under his skin, and he was biting his lip pretty hard.
I just remember in Arizona, after the ROH show, me, you, and Jerry went to that bar, like, across the street. And then he had brought up that kid out, how annoying that kid was. And then the next thing you know, we turn around, and there he is. And Jerry's like, what the fuck?
I know, man. He was just like, are you kidding me? Like, he was already having a drink to calm down, and then the dude showed up. I was just like, this is not good, man.
And
well, the worst was when we were having dinner. That one night, and that dude was going off, and Jerry was just like, I'm going to kill this kid. I'm just going to kill him.
I just remember at that one bar, there was also that one, there was like a couple dudes and a girl that kind of started talking to us, and it was like the one guy was trying to pawn his sister off on Jerry.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. God. The weirdest things happen when you're around wrestlers, isn't it? Isn't that the way that works?
Pretty much.
Yeah. By the way, do you still have a handprint on your chest from when Brian Danielson got you?
No, it was actually Roderick.
Oh, that's right. It was Roderick Strong. That's right.
No, the redness went away after about a week.
A week.
I think you and Jerry had gone to see, like, some cover band or something. But we're in the middle of a bar, and when he did this, and we're all, it's this crowded bar. There's a lot of noise. Everyone's doing their thing, and then the next thing you hear a And then it's like it was like a movie where the whole bar just stopped and turned and looked at us and like, what the fuck is going on with these idiots?
Yeah, we went to the bar because there was an AC/DC cover band there. And, of course, there were some guys there, and they were big Jerry Lynn fans, and they were like, hey, Jerry, you're drinking with us. And next thing you know, they're buying him drinks, and he's like, well, I guess I'm drinking tonight. And he was like, what do you want, Fritz? And I was like, well, I'm not a big drinker. I'll take my one drink while they're drinking eight, you know.
Yeah.
I think I might have had two or three that night.
Well, I remember at WrestleMania, I think you had gone in kind of earlier, but Jerry went in with us, so we're, like, all walking around the outside. So it was funny because all these people would recognize him, but they weren't sure, you know what I mean?
Right.
Everyone around us was just looking at us and pointing our way, and poor Jerry just shaking his head, like, so embarrassed about it.
Oh, I know, you know, and that was the one that – so I had gone in, but we had tickets, and they were, like, way up. And I watched part of the show from, like, the media area, and then I watched part of it in the stands. And I was there in the stands with him watching the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match and the other people that were with us. So, yeah, we were out there for that. And then the show in Arizona, he actually – have I told you the story about how Jerry Lynn was credentialed media for WrestleMania?
Yeah, and he got recognized by John Cena at the
press. Yeah. So he got recognized by Cena and Jericho and a couple other people. But I have this great picture of Jerry walking in, showing off his media credential badge. Like, what the hell is going on? And the funny thing is, too, so he's a member of the media and he's covering it. And he had worked Ring of Honor that weekend, and he had bladed. So he's got a big band-aid on his forehead.
I remember that. I remember because you threw a fit after the match with Carino.
Oh, yeah, because they were doing crazy stuff. I was pissed off at Carino, too, man. I go, what the hell is your problem? I wouldn't have screamed at Carino, man, because they were, like, doing suplex spots on the guardrail between chairs, and, like, they were almost hitting the end of the guardrail. And I was like, you guys are nuts, man. What are you doing?
I think the only person who yelled at them more than you was Pierce, because when they went outside, they weren't supposed to go outside.
Supposed to go outside. Yeah.
Here is through a Jim Cornette style freak out.
Right, because right before that match, like I think I had talked to Pierce before, but I think I got introduced to him one time, like very, very briefly. And then like before that match, I think I was standing next to Lagana. Next thing you know, Pierce came out, and he was running around doing something, and I got introduced to him real quick, and then that match was going on, and he was out there, he's got his hat on backwards, and he's like all fiery, you know, being the producer and everything, and he's watching this, and he was joking around a little bit, and next thing you know, his mood changed, like, what is going on here? You know, like, you're not supposed to be doing that, and yeah, he went ballistic.
Yeah, those Ring of Honor shows are always interesting. I mean, there's always
They are. They're still good. But there was something about those even just a few years ago, just the way...
They just had more talent. They just had better talent.
They had more talent, and I think the crowd got into a little bit more. It was kind of like a rave show. You know, it was different, but same at the same time when it comes to the old ECW shows where everybody knew the music, everybody knew the chants, everybody, you know, was into everything that was going on. And for the most part, they still are, but it's just a little bit different. And like you said, they did have more talent.
Yeah, like that in Houston. I just remember, like, at that bar, you had Danielson, you had Hero Steam, you had Claudio, you had Nigel, you had Tyler Black, you know, mm-hmm. Seth Rollins.
You had Roderick.
You had
Generico.
Generico, Jay Briscoe. You know, it was just that main core is gone for the most part, except for maybe Roddy.
Right, but it's amazing to look back now and just say, wow, they were loaded, man.
Yeah. But going back to WrestleMania, actually, I kind of lost my train of thought. Katrina, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm just guessing that you have the network, and if so, what have you been watching? You know, what kind of things you've been checking out on the network?
I've been flipping around just looking at different things. I know they had those, a couple of older episodes of Raw. I watched the one that had the confrontation with Mike Tyson and Steve mm-hmm. Austin, and I found it amusing on the show that also a part of that was Jim Cornette, along with the NWA tag team champions, the Rock and Roll Express, coming out to the ring with the NWA North American champion, Jeff Jarrett, as he took on, what was it, Bradshaw. It was Blackjack Bradshaw. And Barry Windham was his tag team partner and turned on him during that match. It was a singles match, but Windham cost him the match and turned on him afterwards. And I was like, dear God, this was going on then? I was like, I remember seeing it at the time, but I had no idea that was on that same show. And it's funny looking back, you know. I mean, they only had a couple of those really old, you know, I'd say really old, but, I mean, you know, Attitude or pre-Attitude era kind of stuff and looking back. And it's funny because it's like anything. You sit there and you have these great memories of these shows. And it still was great, but it's just, you know, you have the angle at the end, you know, like I said, with Tyson and Austin. And then you see some of the other stuff, you're like, dear God, that was on there too? You know, and some of it's good, some of it's not. You know, it's just kind of jogs your memory. And just it's amazing to see some of the other things that are on there. But, like, I saw that. I went and saw some stuff from just various matches from different WrestleManias. I went back to, even just today, I went back to the Backlash pay-per-view from 2004 and watched Foley against Orton. That was the one where Orton finally was proven to be a tough guy because he took the bump and the thumbtacks.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were so blatant about blood then. I mean, it was 10 years ago, but, man, they had plenty of blood on the program then.
You want to see some blood, go back and watch some early Great American Bashes or Starcade.
Oh, my God.
Which
Starcade
was it? Was it 84 that, like, had, like, everybody?
I think it was 85.
One of those two. Or if you really want to see a bloodbath, what was the Hell in a Cell between Taker and Lesnar where Taker bladed and it looks like somebody turned on the kitchen sink?
Yeah, that was like a 2000 and – I think it was like 2002 or something. Yeah, I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
It was not only were they bleeding and Taker bled a ton, man. Like, I thought he was going to pass out. But they also had Heyman bleeding. Because even though he was on the outside of the cage at one point, like, Taker was able to reach through the cage and grab this tie and kept slamming him face first into the cage until Heyman was bleeding. And I was just like, what the hell's going on here, man? I mean, I remember seeing that at the time, and then you go back and watch it now, like, man, even WWE, like, they had a lot of blood, you know, during that time.
Yeah, they don't have it no more.
With Orton and Undertaker, didn't Bob Orton blade it, and he had, like, hepatitis or something? That,
yeah, he got fired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with Orton Sr. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's funny because, like, we talk about blood then, but I don't know. You know, when I see it now, like, there are some instances where I could sit there and go, you know what, maybe I could add, but I thought I would miss it, and I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the blood?
When there's like a
really
cell kind of mess, yeah.
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 Do you think it would have added to the angle at the end of Raw on Monday with Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
he did everything but left him open. You know?
Yeah, he did, man. That was literally beating somebody from pillar to post right there.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that he didn't really get hurt.
Yeah. The best spot, though, was when he kept telling Stephanie she hits like a girl. That was awesome.
Oh, that was fantastic, man. You hit like a girl! And she did. She slapped him like a girl. In fact, she took a slap one time and she just totally whiffed, I think. Like,
now, have you bought some... Oh, go ahead, sure.
I was going to say, what do you think about the, you know, how Mania's shaping up this year as far as the show goes?
It's so much different than I ever would have thought. Brian not only has to be in the match for the title, but he's got to win it. I don't think there's any way they could pull the rug out from under him again. I mean, at the end of the night, I think that'll be good. I think right now the main event for the show is probably, you know, Brian against Hunter, even though, you know, that's just the prelude to the title match.
I've always been a big proponent of doing Taker and Lesnar. I think it's going to be very good. I think the Cena match is going to be very good against Bray Wyatt. So it's a very top-heavy show. The rest of the card is really nothing special. I think there's too many multiple people matches. You've got a triple threat for the championship. You're going to have a triple threat for the tag titles. You're going to have a six-man tag with the Shield against Kane and the New Age Outlaws, which just seems so weird. And it's funny going back 3 or 4 months ago, you know, when you're talking about WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, and then on top of that, it's an anniversary show. I thought it would have been a little bit different. Now, some of it, I mean, there's two things that happened, obviously, that changed, you know, I think their thinking for how they were doing the show. One is CM Punk leaving, and the other is just the amount of fanfare that Daniel Bryan has gotten. So they've had to adjust on the fly. But, I mean, if all things had been perfect, I think it would have been a totally different show. And
I almost thank God CM Punk decided to
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the end, Daniel Bryan, I think, is going to get his moment. But you know what? I know a lot of people are tired of seeing John Cena at the top of the card, and I'm not saying he should have been in the title match or anything. And the match against Bray Wyatt, it's a big match, but it's not like one of the main event matches to me. And it just seems weird that Cena has been their top guy for a decade now or whatever, and you're talking about an anniversary WrestleMania, and he's not in, like, one of the top two or three matches. It just seems very, very weird.
Especially after being with The Rock for the last 2 years. I mean, it just kind of sticks out as not that he shouldn't be in there with Bray, because I think it helped Bray more than anything, but it does seem like a lesson he should be getting at WrestleMania, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it just I originally thought that, you know, I mean, I would have loved to have seen him and Daniel Bryan for Daniel to get his crowning moment. But obviously that's not going to happen. And they, I think they got scared off from doing that because they were paired together at SummerSlam last year and they got that disappointing buy rate. And the infamous line from, you know, Vince, you know, in one of their conference calls and saying, you know, we, you know, basically just saying, you know, we didn't deliver. And you know what, though? I don't know if it was because of Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is totally different. He's got more fanfare now than he does compared to then. And on top of that, I don't think people were all that giddy because of the way that match got put together. If you remember, it was just John Cena saying, I like the heart of Daniel Bryan. You get the title shot. And it was just kind of put together like that. And there was no emotion behind it from that standpoint. It wasn't really built up. It was just he got handpicked and had the match, and then he won it. And then afterwards, you got screwed over for the title. And at the time, I thought that was a good idea, but kind of looking back at it now, it was probably a bad idea to do it. I mean, it's building up to this, you know, big moment that we all expect, this big crescendo of him finally getting the big win on the biggest stage of them all. But it's just so strange that the way that it all kind of came together. I mean, I had thought that, you know, that was a match they could have done, or if they didn't pair Cena with him, maybe they put Cena with Punk. You know, if he was going to be around, and you could have still done the Daniel Bryan Triple H match then, and, you know, hell, if it, because it wasn't going to be for the title, you know, or if it wasn't for the title, you could have done, you know, Orton against Batista still, and it would have been, you know, down the card. You know, who knows how that would have changed, and it, you know, part of that would have had to probably have been they couldn't both be heels. I mean, Batista would have had to get a different reaction, but I really thought that, like, with all the attention that Daniel Bryan was getting, that they were going to have to change things at the Royal Rumble. And when they didn't do that, when they didn't have Bryan come out and be a part of the Rumble and then win it, you know, that's what really got everybody worried. It's like they are just, you know, digging in and they're not changing. And guess what? Come the end of the day, they did change. And now we all expect to see Daniel Bryan holding the championship come the end of the night at WrestleMania.
Well, what happened was is they heard Brian Alvarez read a tweet on Wrestling Observer Live, which the little midget laughed at my idea, but they heard my idea, and they went with my idea, and now they're going to main event WrestleMania with my idea that I had before anybody had. It's on Twitter, it's public record, and I'm getting screwed in that game of roadie check. Just when they stole my idea on Wrestling Observer Live to add ECW to the Invasion before Tommy Dreamer and Rob Van Dam came out and also did not get a roadie check. So, yeah, once again, WWE screwing me.
Do you really want to take credit for that one, though?
Hey, yeah, I'm sure you want the money that comes with it, but
that was an awesome Raw, though.
There was. It was an awesome Raw.
Yeah.
Past that, not so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I just what I remember about that Raw, I'll never forget, and it's probably the one thing from Paul Heyman I'll remember more than anything, is when he yelled, "Feel this moment, JR. Feel this moment for the rest of your life." That was awesome.
Yeah, that sure thing on Monday when they did the slow turn to look at Kane reminded me of that. You know, when all the ECW guys, like, turn around and look at Jericho and Kane when they thought they were coming out to help him, and then they just jump
right
on him. Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole angle. I mean, that to me, one of the biggest things that angle that felt so weird and did not work was the fact that you had Stone Cold on that side, like with WCW and all that. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, before that, though, it was awesome. Like, the one Raw where it's like the Alliance is kind of running roughshod and Stone Cold's being a little bitch at the bar, at Tim White's bar by himself with Deborah. And then you had, like, the Undertaker and give that, like, speech on one end, and Paul Heyman's giving the speech to us on the other end. And then they wheel in Freddie Blassie, who stands out of his wheelchair, you know, and tells everyone to fight. And then Austin finally decides to haul ass to the arena and starts kicking ass. That was an awesome Raw, too. It had some great moments. It just didn't last as long as it should have.
Right. And I can't wait till they get those up on the network.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be awesome.
That's kind of the stuff. You know, a couple of the things I'm really looking forward to that I still want to see them put up there are all those different Raws from around then. And then once they get that Monday Night War show going.
Yeah, that should be good.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people say, "Oh man, they're gonna, you know, alter it or whatever, make it, you know, revisionist history and kind of look, you know, better for WWE." Well, maybe, but I don't think if they ever even do that, it's not going to be to the extent where it's. I don't think it's going to be like overly blatant. I mean, there can definitely be some things shaded towards WWE to make them look a little bit better, but. Come to the end of the day, they won. So, you know, some of that stuff, it's like, okay, yeah, you got us on this night or you got us on that night, but guess what? We're the ones still standing.
Yeah, they actually got to put them over during the series to make it, you know, because at the end, like you said, they won. So the more they put them over, the better they look when they win at the end. So.
Right, and that was the whole thing, too, when you talked about the invasion angle. That, I mean, they got one really big buy rate out of it. Didn't they do that one where they did the invasion angle? I mean, they did the big invasion pay-per-view, and that was turned out to be the blow-off, and it was like 750,000 buys or something. And it's just like, can you imagine if they had, like, treated the WCW talent like they did their own talent and even spent the extra money and gotten Flair and Goldberg and Sting?
Yeah, Flair, Goldberg, Sting, you know, instead we had Lance Storm, you know.
And Bischoff. And brought in Bischoff and had him as a heel.
And Bischoff didn't even come in right away. He came in later.
And on the first night, he friggin' hugged Vince McMahon.
Yeah. But, like, the invasion was mainly, like, it was Marcus Alexander, Bagwell, Booker T, and Landstorm were the top guys. So, you know.
Well, remember that first night, Booker T came over the wall, and he put Austin through the announcer's table and really hurt Austin. Like, that was the first appearance of Booker T, and he hurt their top star right off the bat. It was like, whoop.
Yeah.
I do remember they had that awesome
grocery store match.
Yeah, the grocery store thing. That was fucking awesome.
They beat the hell out of each other.
They beat the hell out of that store. I'm sure that guy got paid very well after it was all over.
Oh, yeah. Same with Tim White's bar, man. That always got taken care of.
Right, he got a free renovation every year.
I know, right? Oh, good old Timmy White.
Now, have you gone back and watched any of the older stuff, like the World Class or the old WCW pay-per-views that they have up?
I haven't got a chance to watch World Class, but I have watched some of the old WCW pay-per-views. It's you know what's funny is, like, just looking at, and obviously times change, but just the production, just the way that. Well, number one, I mean, it's older, but on top of that, it was a different company than what we see with, you know, it's not WWE. I mean, each company has their own style of doing things, and it's just funny going back and watching that, hearing Gordon Sully on the call for some of that stuff or being part of the broadcast in some way, and you got Ross and Schiavone and
Bob
Bob Cottle, yep, Bob's part of some of those, man. It's crazy to watch some of that stuff and just see some of the matches. I mean, there's stuff that, like, you remember the main event matches, but you remember the other – you don't necessarily remember some of the other ones. And you're watching this going, oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot this was on there. Oh, Pillman was taking on, you know, whoever. Oh, man, I forgot Midnight Express were on this one, so.
Yeah, there's some good shit on there. Now, as since you're one of the real members of the wrestling media, what have you heard as far as people buying the network? Is, you know, we know everyone knows that the stock's, you know, going up because people think the network's doing good and the looming rate increases. But what have you heard as far as numbers for the network? I know they're probably not going to announce them for like a few more weeks, but
right. I think they said they were going to announce them like the day after or the week of WrestleMania.
Okay,
but. You know what? I haven't heard any, like, hard figures, but every vibe that I get right now in talking to anybody there, it's like, I think they're happy with what they have. Now, does that mean they're close to a million? I don't know. You know, everything it sounds like is they're thrilled with what's going on. Now, the biggest thing is making sure that it still works and works properly on WrestleMania night when it comes to the stream and they don't have any major problems, but... It sounds like they're happy with what's going on, so I would think it can't be too far off what they had targeted. I mean, remember, they want to have a million by the end of the year. I don't think they got to a million, but there, you know, some people thought it was going to be pretty low off the bat. I don't think it is. I think they got a really good response, you know, from the get-go, and they probably should get another little bit of boost for WrestleMania, you would think. So... I think they got to be doing pretty good on it right now and thinking, okay, this is where we're at right now. Wait till we add more to the library and keep spreading the word on this and we get it on smart TVs and everything like that. And then, you know, by the end of the year, I think they'll hit their mark and then they grow internationally.
Yeah, once they go internationally, I mean, you can almost, I don't want to, saying double might be too high, but the UK fans are pretty big. I mean, if you look like at Brian and Dave's site, I mean, almost half the members are UK fans. So.
Oh, absolutely, man. I think that, you know, I think by the end of, I think their goal was like by the end of 2015 or 16, they wanted to be at 2 million. But yeah, once they get it over in the UK, they're going to get a monster spike on that thing, a monster spike, you know. So I think, you know, they will easily get over a million. At that point, it's just how quickly can they get to 2 million?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't watch it like nonstop, but you know, whenever I'm born, there's nothing going on. You know, I've been kind of putting it on. I've been watching, of course, the World Class and the Legends Roundtable. Yeah.
What do you watch it on? What device?
I'm watching it on my laptop.
Okay. And see what you could hear?
I just got I got an Xbox, but, you know, I kind of got fed up with that, even though it kind of got fixed this week. But I got me a Roku 3. Just had no problems
okay.
with it. So.
Didn't,
yeah,
didn't you buy the Roku right before the thing came out on how to watch it on Xbox the right way?
Yeah. It was already in transit to me. So
nice.
That's okay. I didn't like the interface on the Xbox anyway. It was kind of wonky and slow and stuff like that. So
I watch a little bit on my laptop. I've got a PS3 and I've been watching on there, and I haven't really had any problems. I mean, I did the first day, but who didn't the first day, I think. And then, in fact, it took me a while to get signed up. I kept going on to their website and going different places. I was like, I can't sign up. Like, I think I'm clicking on the right spot. And then finally, I got to the right spot. And, you know, it even got to the point where it said, you know, sign up for the trial or sign up for the network. And I was just like, I know I want it, so I'll just start paying for it, you know. So I put in my information and start paying for it.
I had the opposite. Like when I ordered this, I knew I'm going to keep it regardless. So I was like, okay, screw this. I'm not even going to do the trial. I went straight to ordering it. I couldn't order it on that one. It was, I guess too many people were ordering it from that one, and it was kind of crashing or whatever. So I ended up having to order the free trial, even though I knew I didn't need the free trial. So,
right.
But I got registered on that one right away. It's like some people. couldn't get on that one. They had to go through the non-trial. Some people couldn't get on the non-trial. They had to go through the trial. It was just kind of crazy. I guess, you know, people switching back and forth just trying to sign up as fast as possible.
I was hoping that one of the things I would have loved to have seen WWE do would have been had a monitor with all the numbers as more people subscribed and had Vince McMahon staring at it, and instead of his eyes, it would be just dollar signs. You know, they could just superimpose that over him, and he'd just sit there with his mouth wide open.
Ah. Right, that would have been awesome.
You know what? Here's one thing, too. I was talking with a buddy of mine the other day about this. Tell me if I'm the only one about this. I'm surprised of the lack of promotion they've done on TV for the network. And I don't know if that's because of their current TV deal that they have with USA, because obviously they've been promoting it some, but I thought they would have been hitting us over the head talking about the network. And one thing they still don't do, even when they promote it really, is they don't talk about, here's the programming that's coming up on the network. And like I said, maybe there's something that precludes them to do that, but you would be thinking all the time, like on the scroll, don't forget, coming up on the network, we've got this coming up, we've got that coming up, we've got that coming up. We're doing a WrestleMania day this day, we're doing that. You'd have the announcers going, hey, you know what, coming up tomorrow on the network, we got blah, 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 blah. Even my buddy was just like, you know, they just had March 16th. Okay, what is that? Oh, 316. Oh, well, why didn't they advertise that? Like, it's 316. It's stone cold all day long, you know? And even when it comes to, like, videos promoting it, why don't they do something like, you know, don't forget your greatest memories or whatever, you know? And you show, like, a little teaser of, like, a great memory from a pay-per-view. You don't show the entire thing, but, like, you show, you know, a portion of it leading up to, like, some big spot or some big moment that happens there or on Raw. It's a little bit more limited because they don't have them all up. Do something like that, and then right before the big thing, you fade to black and maybe you just hear, like, the crowd or the noise, and you say, relive all your favorite memories, WWE Network. You know, they're not doing any of that.
They had a better idea, Fritz. They had an idea to have Stephanie come out on TV and act like the bitch owner that she is and then go to a commercial where she's talking about her family.
It just seems weird to me that this is their baby. And while they promoted it a little, this is one of those where if they had just slammed you over the head with a sledgehammer, I would not have blamed them whatsoever. We have not seen it. Even before the network launched, like after they had made the announcement, like they did a couple video packages, but I really thought they were like, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, sign up, sign up, sign up, and they really didn't do that.
They did more with Calgary.
They
got to
sign up for it. Every Monday on Raw, they'll take you through, like, the thing with the app every week. You know, like,
yeah, right.
Don't have
they promote the app more than they have the network.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Jerry Lawler every week because no matter what happens, man, something happens with his fingers or something and it makes him look like he's the biggest dork when it comes to technology. Right? Every week, poor Jerry Lawler is trying to scroll through and his freaking iPad doesn't like his fingers. And then you know, Cole has to jump in there. Move out of the way, King. I got it.
That's funny. Now while you're at WrestleMania Live, are you going to pull out your smartphone and just turn on to turn on WrestleMania to see if it's working while we're at WrestleMania?
I actually am. I have a Kindle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have it set up right next to me. So I'm going to put the show on my Kindle, and then I have my laptop in front of me so I can do whatever else I need to do. Because I am curious to see how it works and see, you know, I mean, I'll be hearing about it anyway because if something goes wrong, everybody's going to be complaining on it on Twitter and everything, but I want to see it for myself, too.
Yeah.
Now, if you were at home during Mania this year, you know, would you also order, like, the traditional pay-per-view or would you just watch on the network? Because I know I'm planning on getting the traditional pay-per-view just because it's, like, the first big show that they've done live. And I don't really want to go through any problems. So
I would probably order it in a traditional way, especially because with WrestleMania, I have a bunch of friends over, so it's not just you paying. And I want to make sure I see it. So, you know what? I hope everything goes well with the network and the live stream. But at the same time, I don't want to take any chances because it's WrestleMania. So I'd rather pay and then get the feedback to say it worked and feel better about it for the next month's pay-per-view than to risk it and then have that problem going, oh, here we are, man. We missed out on part of WrestleMania and everybody's frustrated. I want to be able to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily, we don't have that problem. We'll be there live, so there's no way we can.
So one of you two is not going to be there live.
Yeah. Well, the important ones are going to be there live.
Mm.
I watch it on the network, and then if it goes, something goes wrong on the network, I just flip over to the pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, backup plan.
Got it. Yeah, I'm gonna do it for a couple minutes. Unfortunately, the network will kill the power on my phone real quick if I leave it on there for too long. But I do plan on turning it on just to say that I was watching WrestleMania live and on the network at the same time.
There you go, man.
Cool. So we're actually down to like our last 15 minutes here, Fritz. So is there anything going on in wrestling that's, you know, not WrestleMania or network related that you kind of just like want to talk about or bring up or something?
That's a very good question. Let's see. What's going on with TNA? What do you guys
think? Is everything less relevant than they are right now?
Yeah. You know what the thing is with TNA that I wonder about is, like, okay, so here's one in your wheelhouse. So they go out of the way and they get the American Wolves. Okay, so they bring in Davey and they bring in Eddie. And you're thinking, you know what, no matter what, they're going to have some fantastic matches with some guys, right? And the first thing that you think of is Bad Attitude, you know, Chris Daniels and Kazarian. Well, guess who wasn't at the show at the tapings this week or last week? And you wonder if they're even going to be back. Daniels and Kazarian.
Yeah.
And as much as I like the Wolves, I mean, that was one of the things. You know that not everything is going to be Ring of Honor style, okay? And they're going to have to be in shorter matches, TV matches, things like that, you know? That's fine. But there's going to be opportunities to really tear it up. And they're always going to, you know, try anyway. But now I wonder, like, okay, I'm not trying to slam any of the other guys, but there are certain guys that you're really looking forward to them getting in the ring with, and Kazarian Daniels was definitely, like, at the top of that list. And they had, like, one match with them, and that's it. And instead of having, like, this big feud. So, you know, there's still a lot of shuffling the deck when it comes to TNA and it comes to that roster.
Yeah, this is totally new.
Titles and already lost them, too. So,
right.
No, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, they made them look like idiots going on before the pay-per-view. I mean, I don't know why it wasn't, like, MVP saying, oh, no, you got to go to the hospital. And Davey's like, why wasn't Davey being the one? No, screw that, I'm going to wrestle. Instead, they made him look like a little bitch. You know, so it's like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, Davey did an interview where he said he's glad they went to TNA instead of WWE. It's like, come on, Davey. I think you might be the only person who believes that.
That interview was with me.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what were you thinking when he was saying stuff like that? Because, yeah, you know, I can understand that you're thinking, okay, well, I could go to TNA and have better matches, but they've kind of gone back to more skits than matches. And in WWE, yeah, it might have been a struggle, but, you know, it was a struggle for Punk, and it was a struggle for Bryan, it was a struggle for Cesaro.
But you know what the thing is? They didn't get offered contracts in WWE, and that's why they ended up going to TNA.
Yeah.
And you know, this, one of the stories that I had heard was, like, you know, I mean, he said it in the interview. One of the things was, I mean, I think Davey really wanted to go to WWE, but for whatever reason, WWE just was not interested in them. And he had already been talking about going to TNA. And Eddie was like, we need to go through this whole thing with WWE and the tryout and everything. And, you know, Davey had already been burned out of Ring of Honor and had his, you know, issues with management. And you heard that. I mean, you read the interview or listened to it. I mean, he went after management at Ring of Honor, and he was ready to go. So, you know, once, you know, the WWE thing did not work out, it was time to go. And you know what? I mean, they're making more money in TNA than they were in Ring of Honor. But, you know, you want to see them do the best that they can. I mean, they're always going to try. But, I mean, there's a certain standard that they live up to that you want to see as well. You want to see them in these awesome dynamic matches. I hope they still get a chance to do that. You know, I wonder who it's going to be against, considering that there's still changes to the roster, you know, when it comes to TNA. I mean, you know, Lady Tapa, I mean, not the greatest in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but all right, we're gearing up. We're going to have this big view with Gail Kim. One match, gone. It's like, what? What just happened? So there's a lot of changes still going on with that company.
Well, I mean, that sucks for Lady Tapa, but they still upgraded in the women as far as the Lillian Lady Tapa, but they brought back Angelina Love, and then they brought in Santana Garrett. So maybe they'll try and get back to where they were with the women, because the women were hot at one time there, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just seems like a revolving door, like there when you're just like, I don't know if somebody's going to be here or not, or it's like the second you want to get, for some people, I think, you could try to get emotionally invested in somebody or get really excited about something, and then it's just gone. And sometimes there's not even really much of an explanation for it. It's just like, they're gone. It's like, okay.
And then like, going back to the latest Lady Tapa thing, I mean, it's kind of funny because when she did that, what the fuck was it called, the tryout thing, the, you know, it was her against Eva Lee. It was her against Eva Lee, who's from the, you know, the WWE Tough Enough. And, you know, Eva Lee looked good, won the match, and then they pick Lady Tapa. And then, you know, of course, Lady Tapa's all green. Whereas, like, the last few months, Eva Lee has been wrestling for Shine. She's had the best match on the past three Shine pay-per-views. I mean, to me, I think she's actually the hottest woman as far as having great matches out there. And then, for some reason, you know, TNA had her, and they decided to go with the one that barely knew how to wrestle. Granted, she's big and huge and everything, but, you know, I think, you know, they screwed up when they didn't pick Eva Lee. So, like I say, she's been freaking awesome on Shine. I mean, she's having, like, really, really good matches, you know. I mean, a lot of people think I like the women just because they're hot and stuff, but, you know, they actually can wrestle on Shine, and she's tearing it up, and I think they made a big mistake when they didn't get her when they had the chance.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and there's just a lot of different things like that that happen with that company that, you know, it seems like we always want to give them a chance. We always want to root for them, but then it's just like, okay, what the hell are you doing? I mean, even look at that last pay-per-view. Like, okay, supposedly there's different people now, you know, when creative, but yet you're still coming up with the same damn finishes that everybody has crapped on for years. Just like, what the hell are you thinking? I mean, you look at the finishes that they had on there, you know, and just like, that's the best you can come up with? You know people are not going to like this, but yet you're still doing that. Why? Why? You should know better at this point.
You know, we have four pay-per-views a year from now on, you know?
Right. I mean, I don't know how you sit there and go, this is our idea for it, and not know that people are going to just, you know, go after you for it because it's not what they want. And, but yet they still go through with it. And, you know, maybe they're thinking, oh, well, yeah, they're going to react, but it'll be fine. Well, you know what? That's why your audience hasn't grown. You know, that's why you still have trouble with house shows. That's why, you know, I think was it less than 1,000 people were at that show paid, you know, for that. And that's why they, you know, the ratings are where they are. I mean, the ratings have been the same for years now. On Spike TV, they've always been around 1 million. This week, they had a little bit less than 1 million viewers. I think a lot of that was because of the NCAA tournament. But, you know, they always hover from, you know, around 950,000 to, what, 1.3 million, something like that. And the numbers have more or less been the same for years.
Yeah. But speaking of, like, you know, TNA is pretty much, they're trying to go back to Universal. And Florida actually, it's pretty, I don't want to say hot, but they're pretty big as far as actual wrestling, because besides TNA, you also have NXT there, and then you have, FIP and Shine. Do you ever go to, like, the Shine or FIP shows in the, what is it?
I really haven't gotten much of a chance. I mean, I was kind of lucky I got to the Arrival one. But, yeah, I a lot of times I don't get a chance because I just can't travel to it. And, you know, it's funny because, like, Ring Warriors, you know, with Vito, who used to do the radio show with me, that's down in South Florida. And, you know, they're talking about going into some other areas internationally. I think they're going into the UK or something. So you've got that down in South Florida, too, and they've actually been doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So there are some other wrestling here, you know, in the state.
Where is that? What is it? Wipart?
Which one?
Wipart. Okay, where FIC and Shine run their shows, it's like White Bar or something. How far is that from where you're at?
I can't remember exactly where they run, though.
It's at a bar, I know that.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what city it's in. I think it's in Tampa or something.
I only think it's like White Bar or something. I'm probably saying it totally wrong.
Oh, Ybor. That's Ybor City. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's Ybor City, and that's down in Tampa. That's over by Hogan's Bar. That's a part of Tampa where all the bars are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're running Ybor City. So that's about 70 or 80 miles from me.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be a little closer to you.
Nah, that's down in Tampa. So, and I'm like all the way in the other, like I'm on the north end of Orlando.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But that's down there. So, I mean, yeah, but I mean, there's still some wrestling, you know, NXT, you know, it's become kind of the hot thing. I mean, kind of like what TNA was and, you know, TNA is still going to be doing some more tapings. They just did their, you know, they did, three nights here last week and then they're coming back in April, but they couldn't get the building for as many dates as they wanted, so they're going to be, you know, finding some other places. I mean, they're talking about doing Hammerstein, and we'll see where else they end up going. I mean, I'm sure they'd love to have their old building back at Universal and be set up there, but it's taken. You know, they're not getting as many dates as they want. And the funny thing is like they're out at Universal now doing some tapings, but it's not in the same building that they had before. Before they had Soundstage 21, I'm not even sure which one they're using now, but that building's taken.
Now, what's funny is they're hurting for money, and yet they rented the Hammerstein for three nights. It's like, that's kind of a contradiction right there.
Right, you know, because the problem with that is it's not only getting the building, it's all the production costs that go with it, and then when you're doing the production from the people there in the building, remember, that's all union workers, and they don't come cheap. So, man, it's a lot of money to run in that place, man. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think they run into some competition, like when, you know, the Jarrow promotion is supposedly going to, you know, come later in the year. Do you think there'll be, some direct competition for TNA?
Maybe. I mean, I think they want to take a lot of the talent that was at TNA. I think the question, too, is going to be, you know, I expect that group to be on CMT like everybody else does, but I wonder if they're trying to get that slot on Spike. Because,
yeah.
I mean, not that everything has to be public, but we haven't heard a peep out of negotiations between Viacom and Spike and TNA. So the question is going to be, is WWE going to end up there? Is that why they're being quiet? Because they're going after WWE. And whether they do or even if they don't, does that mean they still want TNA? Because even if Viacom is not going after WWE, that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, well, they're committed to TNA. What if Spike just says, okay, we don't want any more wrestling? Or maybe they say, okay, we still want to be in the wrestling business. Our numbers with TNA have been flat for a little while, or we don't like the deal we had. And Jeff Jarrett has a relationship with them and says, hey, guys, I can do this better. You guys know me. We can make this work. So I don't know which one is the case, but it's not a definite that TNA is going to end up on Spike, you know.
And if they don't have Spike, do they have a future without like Spike? They're pretty much done after that, right?
I think they would be done if they lose the deal with Spike.
Yeah, they'd be done if they lose it.
You think AJ Styles is probably going to be like one of the main stars of the Jarrett group?
Who might be?
AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah, I think AJ could definitely be a part of that. I think there's some other people that have either been with TNA or are currently, and who knows how long they might be there for or not, that, you know, could easily be with Jeff Jarrett's promotion by the end of the year.
Yeah.
More Kevin Nash, man.
God.
I'm sorry.
They can bring back the Kevin Nash, Rick and Morton feud.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, we're about to lose our live feed, so let me drop our plug real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can download or stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrer and order shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Kiddo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. Fritz, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Just everybody can check out my work over at BetweenTheRopes.com.
Cool. How often are you doing shows?
We always do one on Tuesday talking about Raw and then just whatever else is going on later in the week. Like this past week, it was a bunch of podcasts. Like it depends on what interviews I can get. Like lately with WrestleMania coming up, it's been a little bit more often. Like Scotty Too Hotty, I spoke with him yesterday. I actually went, he doesn't live too far from me, so I actually went over to his neighborhood. We talked face-to-face, and I did one with Mick Foley today. And then next week I've got the, I don't want to jinx it, but it looks like a couple of guys from WWE, a couple of names you've heard of that are pretty big and going to be pretty high on the card at WrestleMania. And then seeing what else I can dig up, especially leading into Mania.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you ever get a chance to interview Daniel Bryan,
Daniel Bryan, I've heard that name before. There's a chance I could be speaking to him this coming week.
Oh, well, you can ask him about who his favorite person is to watch live UFC events with. And
okay.
That is Ed in San Antonio.
I'll see if I can work that in.
Ask him if it's true, if he can sneeze without blinking his eyes. And I want to see how he reacts to that, because that's too many people know he can do that.
He can sneeze without blinking his eyes.
Yes.
And he's not much of a hugger.
Yeah.
I am praying that when I go for this big media session at WrestleMania that he's going to be there, because I'm going to try the entire time to get a hug with him. That'll be my whole goal. I'm like,
I think Doug Shelby thanks Howard. I think Doug Shelby thanks Howard him on hugs. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've interviewed him, in right next to one another before, you know, and he was pretty good. You know, I tried to get him to do a yes cartwheel, but he didn't go for it. Well, I asked him to do it in his match. I was giving him ideas on how to even do it, man. He was just like, I don't know, you know. He's being nice, Bob. I was like, come on, man. Bring out a yes cartwheel.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. Cool. We've had you on for quite a bit, Fritz. So if there's any last parting words you have before we let you go and get on with the rest of your night?
Anytime that you decide to go party, Ed, in another city, make sure there's somebody else in the room with you just in case you almost die.
All right. I've actually been under control for the most part. Not on all the trips, but, you know, I've survived about 4, 5, 6 years. So.
But none of them were as harsh as that one time.
Yeah, that was crazy. The funniest thing I still remember is, like, the last thing I remember is standing up with the stripper to go upstairs, and the next thing I know, I was waking up in the hotel room, and I just remember you were on the phone, and I was like, are you talking to Vito? And you're like, no, why do you think I'm talking to Vito? And I'm like, I just have Vito's head in my mind, and you're like telling me how I was screaming about how I wanted to hang out with Vito all night long.
Yes, you did. You're screaming in your death knell right there. Yeah.
Too bad you didn't record or videotape that part of it.
I know. As you were screaming that, you were going to die. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I had my hand on the phone to call the friggin' lobby, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I don't remember most of that night.
Yeah,
I'm kind of glad, and at the same time, I'm kind of disappointed, you know, because I did black out of about $200 worth of lap dances, you know.
Right. Yes, you did. And I do remember, though, when the liquor came to our table, everybody else was just pouring a little bit in their glass and mixing it with soda, and you decided to grab the bottle of hard liquor and start pouring it straight down your throat. And we all go, oh no.
The free bottle of Crown that we got comped, that was like a $500 bottle.
That bottle of Crown, man. Between that and the ride back to the hotel as you buried Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Which even Dave laughs about now, too, I believe.
Yeah. And, I remember someone started to bring that up to him at dinner, and I was like, across the table going, Kayfabe.
Oh, that was fantastic. You're like, no, no. And Dave's like, what? What did he say?
Yeah. But that was good times, man. You need to come back to Vegas sometime.
I definitely would like to, man. I'm hoping that I can do it here in the next couple of years. I really want to go back.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the show now. And everybody come back next week. I'm working on trying to get a couple guests, so maybe we can something will pop up. So everyone come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then. And, Fritz, you have a good night.
Thanks. You too, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Take it easy.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up.
I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.